Hello, Micro. We're at 8,000 feet, perishing cold, and I'm bored stiff. What about putting on a hot gramophone record to cheer me up?
Hello? Hello? Is this Harlem 77711?
Hello, fellas. This is Duke Ellington.
Get it. Boys, let's get sweet and hot.
In the opinion of hot music critics, Count Basie has one of the best dance orchestras in the country.
King of the clarinet, Artie Shaw, and his orchestra making dance history in the ballroom of the Hotel Lincoln in New York City.
Every Thursday from 10 till noon, join me, your host, Charles Burnham, for Sweet and Hot, a celebration of the 78 RPM record, the three-minute masterpiece in the golden age of North American songwriting. Hot jazz, swing, and popular music from the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. That's every Thursday from 10 till noon here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Enjoy that blue bottle?
That's a swell record. I must get it. What's his number?
Look at that guy's beard. What's he got on his head?
Hey, buddy, we don't want your type here.
Yeah, what are you, some kind of terrorist?
Hey, be nice, okay? This bus is a safe harbor. This man deserves respect, doesn't everybody?
What would you do if you were this witness? Safe Harbor Respect for All provides diversity workshops across Canada with funding from the Government of Canada. Visit safeharbor.ca. Respect for All. Pass it on.
Well-known pimp. Narcotics king. Big-time racketeer. Back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue.
Come on, baby. Come on. I won't let you down.
Loading Head Movies, Monday, 7:30 to 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Hello, welcome to Sexy in Van City. This is Dave Malicki filling in for Carolyn, who's out doing a lot of good work with BeautyNight.org, a good organization to check out. And thanks, Val. Folk Oasis really is an oasis of folk for all you folk on this sad night when Vancouver is burning downtown, which is a little silly. Thanks, Val, and look forward to hearing you again next week. Tonight, we've got a special guest, someone who I'm very excited to have a chance to talk to. She's a celebrated sexuality and fitness advocate for ageless sexuality. She's also an award-winning blogger and an author whose most recent book and a good part of the topic of the discussion tonight is Naked at Our Age, Talking Out Loud About Senior Sex. I'd like to welcome Joan Price to the show. Welcome, Joan.
Glad to be here.
How is it? How's life in non-hockey obsessed sunny California?
Well, I'm in a wonderful rural area of Northern California. It used to be apple country, and now it's just sort of really nice, rural, small-town kind of atmosphere, and it's quite lovely.
Oh.
But I sure wish I were in Vancouver. I'd love to visit you there.
Oh, it's, well, hopefully, one day.
One day.
Before we jump into the book, I'd like to talk a bit about you, if that's okay.
It's okay.
One thing I didn't mention in the intro is a couple of wonderful titles that have been laid on you. I think Senior Sexpert is one of them.
That's one.
The Beautiful Face of Senior Sex.
Thank you.
And I saw the picture. It's all true.
Aww.
Oh, and I was wondering, do you have a minimum age?
Do I have a minimum age for what?
Well, for the obvious. I mean...
Well, I am 67. I don't mind admitting that. And my first book about senior sex, which was Better Than I Ever Expected, Straight Talk About Sex After 60, was aimed at the over 60 crowd. But the people in their 50s said, hey, this all applies to us too. And I said, you're absolutely right. So my current book, Naked at Our Age, is pretty much 50 and over, 50 through 90 or so.
Right, yeah. My two older brothers and I were chuckling. We're 45, 47, and 49. So we figure we'll just get the my eldest brother's birthday's coming up in just a couple weeks. So we thought we'd buy it for him. And then, once he's done with it, we'd pass it down the line.
You're going to want to keep it.
Yeah.
So you better get 3 copies.
Okay.
Your brother's not going to want to give it up.
Well, when we get to it, there's some topics, frankly, that would, of course, they're aimed specifically at, like you say, that how they apply to seniors, but universally important.
Yes,
you know?
They are. It's just that there isn't much aimed at seniors that really takes that perspective into account.
Right.
So I wanted to do that.
Now, the one, and I read that you consider it's your favorite way that you've been described is a wrinkly sex kitten.
That's how one newspaper described me, and I loved it. And everyone I know said, ooh, aren't you insulted by that? And I said, no, I think it's wonderful. I think we should reclaim the word wrinkly and make it nice.
Oh.
Yeah, why not?
No, it's good. I it's funny, of course, because I'm not quite there yet, so you don't think of it as a word that needs reclaiming, but of course, it's loaded with so much negative.
Especially women are so embarrassed and self-conscious about their wrinkles,
yeah,
and think that they're not sexy because of it. And I just want to change that around, wrinkly and proud.
Good. Well, I mean, is part of it the idea? You've been around the block a few times, so you know what you want, and you're not going to stand for... Well, I mean, the sort of the classic older woman who speaks her mind and figures, I've gone through enough, I've paid my dues, I get to go for it, that sort of thing?
Well, you're absolutely right that when... And it's for men, not just women. But by the time we've reached this age, we know what we want, not only in bed, but out of bed, too, in our life. We've made our relationship mistakes. We've made plenty of decisions. We've said hello, goodbye to a lot of people. And we are really at the most wonderful space in our lives for being able to love fully and to be able to have glorious sex with no fear of pregnancy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice thing.
Very much so. Now, before we get into, there's one topic I did find, a lot I found interesting. One, of course, was the concept of, and it's not directly related, but of safe sex for older people. I thought that was really interesting. But before we get into that and a bunch of other stuff, I'd like to talk about you a bit.
Okay.
And, before you got into sex, and I mean as a professional thing to do.
As a writer.
Yeah. You were a widely published health and fitness writer for many years.
That's right. I, in fact, started my adult career as a high school English teacher and then explored, after 22 years of that, decided I would see whether I could make a living writing because I'd always had this dream of being a professional writer. And so I took a year off from teaching just to write full-time and didn't ever go back. Still love teenagers, but just it was time to do something else. And so I was writing about health and fitness for a number of years, I guess from my, I don't know how old I was there. Mm. And what happened to change my topic from fitness to sexuality, especially elder sexuality, is that I fell in love at age 57 with a man who was 64.
Wonderful.
And it was the most wonderful relationship, David. It was It was everything you were saying about how we know what we want now, and each other was it.
Wow.
And the sex was fantastic. And was it like younger sex? Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was in some ways better. In some ways, we had to accommodate ourselves. We had to figure out some compromises in order to make it work.
Well, there was one thing I found interesting in your book, and that was, I don't know if this was, you know, one of the many people you interviewed or something that you said, and that was that they had a longing for that intense sort of burning desire. They just wanted to want. They still had sex as a senior, and it was still very good, but they wanted to have, and then I think it's a, you know, it's a great sort of not question and answer. Well, there's a question and answer element to the book. And I think in your response, you had some things to say about that.
Yes. The context of that is that I had been giving us, well, Naked at Our Age is full of reader stories.
Yes.
And they're
inspiring and sad and moving.
They offer their questions and their concerns, and then I have experts answering them, and I chime in also. And this was about women, basically, who were writing about not feeling desire anymore. One woman said, "I want my sweet tooth back."
Right, that was the one, yes.
Yeah, that was the one you're thinking of. I love that quote.
Yeah.
And she was saying that, you know, she has sex, and it's okay, it's all right, but it just isn't what it used to be, and she doesn't even feel like it anymore sometimes. She doesn't think about it.
Hmm.
Whereas we used to always be obsessed with the thought of when is the next time going to be.
Right.
And so one of the wonderful tips that my experts gave me is that you get in the mood by doing it first. Instead of the other way around, we can get in the mood, then, okay, let's have a little physical contact. And what's going on for us now is that sometimes desire follows physical arousal instead of the other way around. So if we are in a good relationship, I'm not saying if you hate the person you're with, do it anyway. No.
Right.
If you love the person you're with, or if you're alone and have a favorite sex toy, do it anyway. And as the physiological response starts to happen, the desire, the emotional longing comes into it too. And then it all comes together in a beautiful way. Isn't that cool?
Oh, great. And, you know, something to look forward to.
Yeah.
You know, whether for me, you know, it's a bunch of years away, or for some of your listeners, maybe later tonight.
That's right. In fact, I gave a talk recently and gave that idea as well as many others. And the next day, I got an email from one of the people who had been in my audience, and she said, "You've changed my life." And just, she didn't know that you could do it that way. She thought, if I'm not turned on to begin with, if I don't feel like it, that's too bad. I wish I could be in the mood, but I'm not.
She
discovered that you can get started, and that gets you in the mood.
Do you think that it's a matter of you know, giving yourself permission? Is that, do you think, what holds people back? That they're, you know, that they, you know, that it's... It's not frivolous. It's not self-indulgent. You know, it is important. Do you think, is that one thing? Is that a psychological barrier people have to break through? Is that?
Well, there are two components to that, and I'm really glad you're asking about that. One is that one of my chapter titles is "The Old Ways Don't Work Anymore."
Right.
It's that we were used to, maybe for 40, 50 years, it worked fine because we had the biological urge. We were biologically driven. That was hardwired. We had hormones rushing, not only estrogen for the women, but also testosterone for both genders. And that enhanced our sex drive, or really drove our sex drive. And now that we're not driven by hormones, we're not driven to reproduce because we're not reproducing anymore.
Right.
Then we got to have other reasons. Mm-hmm. And we have so many other reasons for enjoying sex. So... you're right that in one way that we don't maybe give ourselves permission if we're not driven to do it. We think that's the way it used to be. It ought to happen that way, and something's wrong with me or wrong with the relationship if it doesn't. And it might not be that at all. It might just be we have to change it around a little bit, acknowledge the changes and adapt to them. And then the other part of that is that and you got to stop me from talking too much about this, but society sees the older generation as either sexless or pathetic if we are sexual.
Of course.
And we don't have role models. We don't have, we can look, we have a few. We have Helen Mirren. We have Sophia Loren. We have a few people.
But it's almost like they're, you know, it's almost like, not the exception proves the rule, but, you know, we'll give them that. But the, but of course, they're in very there's very specific reasons why they are given that. The Omar Sharifs of the world.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Exactly. And they have as much money and leisure time and whatever they need to make it work, whereas we might not. And so, yeah, we just have to give ourselves permission in that we are saying, yes, I am still a sexual being, and it's important to me to have sex. And people say to me, well, if I don't feel like it, then what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
And there is a point, because we absolutely are responsible for our sexual health. And by that I mean that if we don't use it, we really do lose it.
Mm.
That women who don't have sex for a long time and don't stimulate themselves, don't have orgasms, and don't have penetration, don't have any of it, let's say, the vaginal tissues thin,
right,
and may then burn and bleed if they do try to have sex, and the blood doesn't rush to the genitals anymore. We have to keep nurturing that. We make the blood rush to the genitals by making the blood rush to the genitals.
Right, right. Now, there's so many things come to mind. Just about the old folks being allowed to be sexy. I think it was Helen Hayes who was asked. I think it was her. Ms. Hayes, you know, would you rather have sex? She was quite old at the stage. Would you rather have sex appeal or money? And she said money, because at my age, that is sex appeal. And I'm glad to hear that you're dispelling that. It's great stuff.
You. Yeah.
So,
because money can't buy health, and money can't buy satisfaction. It can maybe buy sex, but not sexual satisfaction.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Something else going on.
Now, when you we're bouncing around a bit, but when you mentioned vulvar pain and the possibility of bleeding.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that a bit. So,
okay.
But you also mentioned, you know, getting the blood flowing to the genitals. What do you think about, technical props, I guess I'd call it, things like clitoral stimulating gel?
I think they're fine if they work. They work for some, they don't work for others.
Okay.
But I don't think we need to medicalize this
right
so much, because you probably are going to ask me, what about the new developments of Viagra for women, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Let's not medicalize it until we find out there is a medical problem. There may be.
And I remember there was a very sad story about a woman who lost the love of her life to another woman when she wasn't responding, and it turned out that sexually, it turned out she then went to the doctor, and it was because of, I believe it was heart disease.
Yes.
And, you know, and she said so sadly in her book, you know, in your book, that she said that she was, many years later, she was still thinking about her and didn't even know where she was in the world anymore.
I know, that made me so sad.
Yeah.
That made me so sad. I even said to her, can you maybe find her?
Yeah.
I'll talk to her for you if you want. But she said, no, I don't have any idea how to. Yeah, this was so such a sad story. So the moral of that story,
of course,
and the reason that it was very important that that she agreed to share it, and I was very grateful, because she had a hard time sharing it, I'll tell you, was that if there is a sudden change in anything sexual, if a man suddenly is not getting erections, if a woman is suddenly not reaching orgasm when she used to, and it seems like a dramatic change, then get to a doctor and see if there's something going on. Because for this woman, as you say, it was heart disease.
Right.
She ended up in the hospital finding herself, what was it, 80% blocked, something like that?
Yeah, very high. And yeah, and it's, you know, it's funny because we, again, it's I think we internalize a lot of what society has to say about sex when it comes to these things, because, you know, if you saw, oh, I don't know, a mole that was changing rapidly, you know, you would go see a doctor.
That's right. Yeah.
But we somehow, you know, ascribe different significance to it if it's about our sexuality, you know?
Yes. And especially men, I got to tell you, especially men.
Mm.
And men don't like to go to the doctor for anything short of a severed leg. And even then, they have to be talked into it.
Right, right.
And to be, as I said in the book, to be telling a doctor that they're having erectile difficulties is as palatable as announcing it at the class reunion.
Ooh, yeah.
But it can be a sign of heart disease, of diabetes, of any number of things. And even if it is not, it could still be something that can be treated, that too many men just turn their face to the wall and they say, well, my partner will never notice that we're not having sex anymore. She notices.
Yeah.
She's very worried about you, but you're not talking about it, so she doesn't dare talk about it, and on and on.
Yeah, yeah. So as a sort of an overall general sort of question, because there's a lot of challenges, you have to confront... You know, you have to push yourself out of your comfort zone, I guess. What are some of the joys that make it worthwhile to persist and pursue?
Well, one of the things I love, if we're talking about heterosexual relationships, and the book talks about both, doesn't just talk about straight couples or even couples at all, but one of the joys is that men and women, for the first time in our lives, were evenly matched. It has always been that the women wanted more foreplay, the men wanted to get to the finish quickly and would just indulge the women in order to get what
get to the good stuff.
And now the men need more arousal too. The men want more touching. The men want more of a tenderness.
Hmm.
That's partly what's going on for them too.
Oh, that
and
does
so
sound great.
The women,
you know,
and the men, or women and women, men and men, it doesn't matter. We can indulge in a really nice, long, languid lovemaking session. And in fact, we should indulge in that because things don't happen quickly at our age.
Right.
So rather than see that as a defect, see that as an opportunity.
And I guess something you mentioned, a way of doing that is we touched on this a little bit in a way, you know, the plan for it. Do it first and then it'll come later. It doesn't have to be spontaneous, and it can be that, you know, when we walk to that certain park to watch the sunset and then come back, you know, it allows for you to connect with each other emotionally and physically, and that's going to then carry on into sex later on. So you get this wonderful, like you say, this double dipping, so to speak.
Yeah, you know? You're right. I do recommend that, and I often surprise people with that in my workshops. People say, wait. Well, it's the men who say. The women just say, oh, that feels like a great idea. When I say, schedule sex dates that take all afternoon, and you won't be having sex that whole time, you'll be preparing for it emotionally and physically by doing something physical, just using the body together. Taking a walk in the park, as you say, or dancing either out or in the living room. Or
oh, now that's another thing about you.
Yeah, I teach line dancing.
Yes, but not just line dancing. It's modern line dancing?
Contemporary line dancing.
Now, what's contemporary line dancing?
That is, regular line dancing, traditional line dancing, has its roots in country western music and dance. And that's how it developed. But contemporary line dance uses all kinds of music, from contemporary pop to old-time rock and roll to blues, and the steps are more in keeping with the style of the music. So something might look like musical theater. Another one might look like it's West Coast swing, but it's a line dance. And so it's more like ensemble dancing. People are in rows all doing the same choreography.
Right.
But it feels more like an ensemble than we're at a country western bar. I don't teach at bars at all.
Okay.
I teach in dance halls.
Oh, wonderful.
And health clubs.
Well, now that we've branched off a little bit, I'd like to keep talking about you again.
Okay.
Because In addition to the great work that you're doing as a senior sex, as the senior sexpert, and the health and fitness stuff, your earlier life has got a wonderful story of overcoming adversity. And it was, I understand that it was a horrible accident that you had to get through. So let's talk a little bit about that. And if you could also, what do you think that did as sort of a building block or a platform for what happened afterwards in your
Absolutely.
Life?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a pivotal point in that. I was a high school teacher at that time, and I had been just for a year and a half taking aerobics classes.
Okay.
And really had made it a habit. I was going almost every day and felt really fit and strong. And 5 days before my 34th birthday, I was hit head-on by a car that went out of control and slammed into me head-on, pushing the front of the car into me.
God.
So that I was pinned by the steering wheel in my face and my foot that I had foolishly put on the brake, because that's the reflex, worst thing you can do, because it smashed my foot and ankle. So the ankle bone was actually coming right out of the ankle, and it was a pretty big mess. I almost died. In fact, I saw the light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And every bone every bone in my face was broken because the steering wheel smashed into me. And I was seatbelted, or I would never have lived to tell this story. Never. Not a chance. So I had a broken wrist and a totally smashed face, lost 11 teeth, neck fracture, and a shattered heel and smashed ankle. And I'm just very lucky that's what it was, because the... The doctors did manage to put me together again.
Did they ever? That's what I was going to say. These guys, women, wow.
Amazing.
Because I didn't realize the nature of the injuries, when I'd read that you'd suffered like that. And your photograph is, a testament to their work.
Thank you. Well, what happened is they came to me in the hospital and said that I had consultations with lots of specialists, and they said, we can reconstruct your face. We'll need photographs, because I couldn't even tell what I looked like.
Wow.
Dental records and photographs in order to figure out what my bone structure was.
Amazing.
They were all just in little pieces. We can reconstruct your face. We can fix your wrist. We can fix your neck or heel. But although we can reconstruct your foot and ankle, you won't have full motion ever, and you may not ever walk normally. And so I said, this was through broken teeth and my jaw being broken in six places, but I'll just say it as if I could talk. I said, I don't care about walking normally. I want to dance.
Really?
And so... They laughed. They thought I was kidding.
Yeah.
They thought I was delirious. And as soon as I could, I went back in the aerobics room, which was my dance at that time, on crutches. And all I could do at that point was sit on the floor and raise one leg.
Yeah.
And then I got to the point where I was stable enough on crutches that I was actually doing aerobics on crutches. I said I had the strongest left leg in the West. Couldn't use the right at all.
Of course.
And what happened for me through all this is when I was healing, and it was a very, very long healing process and extremely painful. If you've never smashed a foot, you have no idea what pain is. And I would see people who could move but chose not to, who could walk and chose to sit, who could run and chose to sit, who could dance and chose to sit. And so I vowed that when, not if, I was able to resume normal activity again, I was going to make my mission the joy of fitness, and that I wouldn't spread that. And that's why I became a health and fitness instructor.
And so that Wow. I mean, so yeah. That, of course, is that's a hell of a lot of momentum, or not momentum, a lot of you know, pressure to have, positive pressure to have built up to drive you forward, and it sure did. I mean,
did.
You're a well-regarded writer. I mean, within
and
the fitness world,
I speak about both health and fitness and senior sexuality now.
Yeah, yeah.
And people will say, after hearing my talk and seeing my photograph blown up of the crutches photograph that's on my website, and I had that taken when I thought I looked good. My accident was in November. This was January. I thought I looked great. Someone take my picture so I can send it home to my father and let him see how well I've healed. Hey, you want a picture of this? Yeah, I do.
Huh.
That's the only picture I have of that time.
That's amazing.
But I realized that my aerobics habit had saved my life. I sincerely felt that, because the doctors told me they didn't know how I lived through the first hour until I was in the care of the emergency room.
Amazing.
And part of it was, I said, I decided to. But the other part was that I felt my heart was strong enough to go on automatic pilot until help could step in. Because they said, no one lives through injuries like that.
Hmm. Well, obviously you're not your standard person, are you, Joan?
Thank you. Well, it feels like I was given the gift of another life. You know, I could have died right there and never seen my 35th birthday.
Well,
but I didn't. I lived, and here I am at 67, and I hope still doing good work.
Well, I was going to say, I'm sure that you're grateful, but there's many, many other people, I'm sure, who are. I mean, I'm grateful, and all I've done is, frankly, thumb my way through your book and read gone through your website and blog, and it's left me inspired, you know, shivers up and down my spine, the whole bit.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Can we tell the listeners how to find my website and blog?
You bet. I've got
it. JoanPrice.com, and the blog is nakedatourage.com,
so it's,
with the www in front.
Yeah, www.joanprice.com. And that is also the name of our guest, folks, here on Sexy in Van City. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. And we're just going to take a short musical break, and we're going to be right back, and we're going to get into Joan Price's new book that's come out this year, Naked Our Age, Talking Out Loud About Senior Sex.
To shine, if you're bent on bringing me back down, better get in line. Something I said has got you so mad. You wanna give me a piece of your mind. You intend on making me feel bad. You best get in line. Whoa, it's a long line, it's a long line. It's going out the door. You'll be waiting in line. Till your feet are sore. Whatever I do, I'm doing it wrong. And if you feel the need to remind me of a world that's long gone, take a number and wait in line. It's a long line, it's going round the bend. You'll be waiting a long time, it's a very long line. I can't see the end. Heavy clouds all hanging around, and the sun refuses to shine. If you're bent on bringing me back down, better get in line. I never meant for your flowers to wilt. Or to sour all your sweet wine. If you mean to shower me with guilt, better get in line. If you're crying over milk that's spilled, I'll take a number and wait in line. Ooh, 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 ooh. So tempting, it's spreading all over town. Where there is love, there's an open door. All the birds are leaving, I hear it in their song. It's a heavenly love that you and I look upon. So tempting, it's spreading all over town. Where there is love, there's an open door. Heavenly sunset, worshipping the earth. It's a heavenly love, and we know what it's worth. It's a heavenly love, and we know what.
Welcome back to Sexy in Van City. It's 10:35. You're listening to CITR 101.FM here at UBC in warm but sad Vancouver. And tonight's guest is Joan Price, author of Naked at Our Age, Talking Out Loud About Senior Sex. So Joan, before we get into some of the topics, I see that the foreword of your book is by Betty Dodson,
the great Betty Dodson.
You know, she's a sex educator, she's an author, she wrote My Sexual Revolution, she's done so many great things. And in the back of your book, you know, your experts, it's quite a who's who. I mean, yeah. of people in the biz and in the... The healing and the professions, I mean, of sexuality, and not just. I mean, it's education, life coach, grief counselors, you know, you've got...
therapists, medical professionals,
You know, it's amazing, just... So your book isn't... What I love about your book, it's not just, and I don't mean that in a disparaging way, it's not just what you and your interviewees have to say about senior sex. It's distilled knowledge of a whole pile of people.
Right. It's really self-help guidebook. That's what when I envisioned it in the beginning, I thought, all these people have problems and questions. And I may not know all the answers, but I know who does. I know who the specialist in sex after cancer is. I know who the specialists in, say, erectile difficulties are. I know the vulvar pain specialists are. And so I wanted to elicit help from all of them, and they were so eager to help. They were really generous with their expertise, and they're so happy about it now. They're all writing me saying, whoa, this is great. Thank you for letting me be in it. And I'm going, thank you for being in it.
Well, it's wonderful. There's to see... I mean, your book is evidence of it, as well as, you know, a catalyst for it, and that is the change towards attitudes about seniors having sex. It's so moving. There's a story of one woman who was talking to her doctor, and it's actually why I brought up the clitoral stimulating gels and you know, the lubes and all those sorts of things. All the lubes, you know, definitely are wonderful and have their place. where she was saying, listen, I don't want just some, you know, some hormone replacement. I don't want hormone creams and a little, these sorts, as you say, medicalized problems, solutions to the problem. And she educated her doctor.
Yes.
And then after a few visits, I think the doctor said it was something, it was wonderful. It was, the phrase was something like, I just wanted to let you know, I've had the opportunity to pass on some of the information that you gave to me.
Yes, isn't that wonderful?
You know, especially the medical profession, which many, many great doctors out there, of course, but there is some resistance to change to certain things within that profession, and to hear a member of that profession, where, of course, older people are going to be spending time.
Yeah.
My mother goes to see her doctor in part because she has medical concerns, but also because it's a social contact. It's,
yes.
You know, and to know that they're in there making the right, you know, turning the right direction, if you will, is great to hear.
You know, doctors aren't resistant because they want to do things their own way. It's that they don't know that there's another way.
And that's what made it gratifying to hear that that the doctor is willing to listen to a patient, follow
yes,
up. And
because they get almost no sexuality training in medical school. Isn't that awful?
Of course it
such
is.
Such a big part of our life and such a central part of our well-being. And they get almost no training in it, and they don't get any training in senior sex. And that's not the same as younger sex. And so we need to educate the medical profession, too. And many of them are very eager to learn. The rest don't even know that there is something to learn.
Of course. Of course. And there is, of course, that, as you say, getting over the hump of seniors humping, so to speak.
You know? That's great. I like that. I may quote you now.
Oh, great. there's so many different topics. If you were to grab one that you think is especially important to seniors, what would it be? If you were to prioritize them, but if you're going to put one up there, you know, what's one that you'd want to talk about?
I think if I were to choose one that people don't know the most,
mm-hmm.
that sounds like a funny structure of the sentence, but that is the least understood by seniors.
Right.
It's the need to remain sexual if we don't have a partner.
That makes so much sense, of course, because as you get older, you can, you know, people die.
People die. You lose your partner, or your partner loses you, or there are late-life divorces. There are any number of reasons that we may be alone at this age.
Right.
And so it's very easy to just let our sexuality go if we're not actively dating, seeking a new partner. We may be just thinking, oh, well, I'm done with all that.
I had two psychics separately tell me that I was going to die a bachelor.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Well, you know, I've had a pretty good run so far. So if that's what I've got forward to, I mean, I saw my dad. He didn't look too bad in his 8x10 room, you know, actually. He was kind of at peace about it. I don't know how much fun he was having with himself, but frankly, if I end up there, I intend to be having a good time. So here I am. I've, let's say I'm, 72, and I'm by myself. I've been by myself now for, a couple of years. And I've noticed that it's disappeared. You know, the desire has disappeared, mm-hmm. like you say. What would you tell me if there I am? What would you have to say to me?
I would say self-pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasure yourself with your hands, with sex toys, all sorts of amazing sex toys for both men and women these days.
Yep.
Get a good lubricant, enjoy it, and if you don't feel like it, do it anyway.
Yeah, I guess I was going to ask, yeah, because what you were, now, how much of what we talked about before about when you're talking about couple sex, the sort of setting it up, setting yourself up, taking yourself out for a date, so to
mm-hmm.
speak. I mean, does that stuff apply to the individual as well as it does to a couple?
Absolutely.
How would that look? Because
even more,
you know,
because the single person doesn't have that impetus from the partner saying, you know, it's been a while. Could we maybe think about doing this again?
Right.
And a single person doesn't have this, can go years.
Well, I just think of the, you know, sort of the cliche of older people not eating properly because if they're by themselves, as people of all ages, you know, you don't cook as nice a meal when it's just you.
That's right.
Right? So yeah. So how do you prepare yourself a nice sexual banquet for one, I guess?
Ooh, you know. Isn't that nice? Sexual banquet for one. I could quote you a lot. You're really good.
I'm blushing.
First of all, set the scene. Figure out, first of all, when is your most energetic time of day? Maybe when we were dating in our 20s, it was after dinner. It's not anymore.
Okay.
Might be late morning. It might be first thing in the morning. It might be after good poop. It certainly isn't while we're digesting a heavy meal.
Oh, okay.
So figure out when it is that you're most, you feel a little bit of tingle, a little zing there. Because that comes and goes, right? And you feel it. You go, oh, okay. Oh, there it's gone. Okay, I'll do something else.
Right.
No, grab the moment.
And not so just the moment. Grab.
Yeah. Let's say it's late morning.
Okay.
Then make time for it. Doesn't have to be every day, of course. That's a little, we still have busy lives. Just because we're old doesn't mean we're not busy. But at least once a week, and preferably more.
Okay.
Stimulate yourself. Bring yourself to orgasm. Enjoy it. The more you do it, the more you'll want to do it, and the more you'll be able to do it.
Wonderful.
Isn't that cool?
Oh, yeah. 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 And like you say, you know, it's such an important part of overall health, and it spills over into, you know, it's going to affect your mental state, your spiritual state, however you want to take what that means, you know, and maybe, just maybe, it'll get you interested in looking around and finding,
and it will help your health. Even aside from your sexual health.
Exactly.
Your
heart
will be, you'll be less prone to heart disease, less prone to depression, and also less prone to incontinence. And I've had women say to me, you know, I'm giving all the other the reasons to pleasure yourself, and they're going, and then I say, well, less likelihood you'll be incontinent later. Oh, okay then.
Then I'll get up for it. That's great.
Alrighty then.
So when it comes to let's say sex toys,
yeah,
which is that's a topic that's changed over the years. I mean, it went from being a dirty little secret where, you know, you could only buy things that were, you know, marked for amusement. I don't know what they said, amusement purposes only, or these ridiculous
novelty.
That's it. Or these ridiculous. I remember seeing these catalogs as a kid, would be this woman holding clearly you know, one of those white plastic vibrators and making it look like she's, you know, touching up her cuticles or something with them.
I know.
Right?
I know.
And now...
That was so we could buy them in the department store.
Exactly.
We used to do that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, and now you can go to, here anyway, it's changed so much that you go into a really well-respected, it's called London Drugs. It's a British Columbia grown chain of drugstores. When I say drugstores, I mean they sell everything.
Uh-huh.
The lube section is, you know, top to bottom, left to right, and they've got perfectly lovely sex toys there as well.
Wonderful.
So it's really changed. So seniors should feel just as you know, entitled as everyone else does, you know, to be able to jump in there and grab what they want.
I'll tell you a very personal story, if I may.
Please.
I would be embarrassed if I hadn't written a book about all this.
I guess it gives you a license. Yeah, I was going to say, it gives you a license to let her go, yeah.
The love of my life, whom I was with for 7 years, his name was Robert, he died almost 3 years ago. And I went into a very deep grief, profound grief, and sex was the last thing on my mind. I was still writing about it, but doing it, forget that. Even
right.
Doing it with myself,
yeah.
Why bother? I was too depressed.
Yeah, the shoemaker's children go barefoot sort
right.
of thing.
I was just too unhappy to even think about it. And some of my sex educator friends were even prompting me, saying, no, don't let that part go, Joan. It's important. And I knew all the reasons, but it just seemed like too much trouble.
Right.
And then... I started reviewing sex toys on my blog.
Oh.
Because I had the opportunity to get a sample of one that was really good. I wrote about it. And then from there, other companies said, well, why don't you try this one? And the reason they kept approaching me is that I reviewed the toys with a senior perspective.
Right.
For example, could it go for a really long time without either overheating or turning itself off? Hmm. Was it easy to use with an arthritic wrist? Could you see the controls or feel the controls so you didn't need to wear your reading glasses? Hmm. And there were all these things that young people don't have to think about, but they can really make the difference between whether a toy works for us or not, and using the right toy can make the difference between having an orgasm or not.
It really can. Well, how about an example of a toy that... just grab one out of the grab bag, that's specific, that sticks with you is one that either you personally or the seniors have told you that is a great one. You know, if you have in the top of mind.
Oh, I have so many that pop to mind.
Great. A couple for men, a couple for women.
Because I'm no longer reluctant, okay? that's what got me out of my reluctance, in fact, was doing this reviewing and realizing that how much pleasure that gave me and how much better I felt about everything. Because I was being sexual, even if there was no partner and no partner on the horizon.
Yeah.
So, okay, some really good ones. For strength, the Hitachi Magic Wand, super nice and strong. It's sort of the workhorse of vibrators. It's been around for a long time, and anyone who's used a vibrator smiles when you say Hitachi Magic Wand.
Yeah.
Then there's one that is smaller and therefore lighter and easier to keep holding, which is almost as strong, and that is the Vibratex Mystic Wand.
The Vibratex Mystic Wand. Yeah.
The Vibratex is the brand, and Mystic Wand is the model. You know, people can, I'll tell you some more, but I also want to say that people can come to my blog, nakedatourage.com, and on the side there's a list of labels, as they call them in blogger land,
okay,
which is the topics I cover, and if you click on vibrator reviews, you'll see maybe 50 that I've done.
Oh.
And then I don't like them all, and that's okay. I'm honest about the ones I don't like, too.
Yep.
Some other ones that I like, Lilo is a company in Sweden, and they do wonderful sort of high-class luxury vibrators that are beautiful. They're works of art, as well as very well-designed, well-made, and very effective.
Leave it to the Swedes, huh?
L-E-L-O, yeah. And they, there are a few of theirs that I like a lot. And some that don't quite work for me, but my readers have said, oh, no, that one's my favorite. How could you not like that one?
Good, so people can check out your blog and find out about that there.
Yeah.
And how about for guys? Because, I mean, the only...
Yes.
There's a really simple thing that... I think it's wonderful. It looks kind of like, it actually, I bought this thing. It came in a CD case, and it just looked like it was made out of silicone, like a piece of jelly, jello had sat down for a while, and you put a bit of lube on there and you just wrapped it around your penis like a soft taco. And,
taco penis, okay.
Very cheap, easy to clean, wonderful.
It's a sleeve?
Sort of, yeah. Essentially, it functions as a sleeve. It was such a simple thing. So that's one I imagine would be great.
That's one, and you can get some that vibrate or some that don't, if you can create your own vibrations plenty.
Oh.
And also, rings can sometimes help. You have to... be careful, and I have some tips on sex toys for men in the book, too. Have to be careful that you don't have certain medical conditions for using a cock ring, as they're called.
Right.
But if you have problems, for example, you can get an erection, but it sometimes goes away before you have a chance to use it as you want to.
So you throw the ring on and
you put the ring on, and that sort of keeps the blood flow there and doesn't let it recede. And that some men have found that very helpful, and they've been surprised that that's such an easy solution to that problem.
So,
and we can't go without talking about condoms, can we?
No, of course not, because the idea that, safer sex for seniors is, we touched on that. Pregnancy isn't an issue, but safe sex is. Yeah.
The over 50 crowd is the fastest growing population of new HIV transmissions.
Really?
New ones. I'm not saying people who've lived to be 50. I'm saying people who are getting HIV now after 50.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that because they don't need condoms for pregnancy protection?
Because they think they don't need them. They don't like them. Mm-hmm. They don't use them. Women are embarrassed to ask. Men say, oh, well, I can't keep my erection as easily with a condom, so I don't want to.
Right.
Many times, seniors are single after being in a long-term relationship for decades. They come out of it. They think, oh, well, this nice man, he just lost his wife. He's safe. And he's saying, well, she's just recently divorced, and she certainly looks safe. We can't look safe. And so I'm really adamant about this, that you need to use barrier protection every time until you're in a long-term monogamous relationship and you have both been tested 6 months into the relationship. You've been monogamous for 6 months.
Right.
Because often the HIV virus doesn't show up till then. And there can be other diseases, too. I have a man in my book who's really upset that after going his whole life without getting herpes, he got it in his 60s.
Oh, no.
Yeah, from a woman who knew she had it, but she thought she couldn't transmit if it wasn't active, and so she didn't tell him.
Right.
She never told him she had it, and it turns out that a woman can't always tell when it's active, and even when it's not active, even when they think it isn't, there are no signs that it's active, it can still be shedding.
That is just dreadful. I mean, of course, being a smart aleck, the first thing that comes to my mind, you know, it gives them something to brag about down at the health club. Hey, guys, guess what? I got herpes last week.
It's not a subject to brag about because now he has to tell every new partner.
No, that's what I was saying. No, of course. And it would you know, restrict his life and...
Mm-hmm.
No.
The thing is that often people lie. Often people don't know if they have anything. And even if you think someone's safe, if he or she is saying, we don't need condoms, that means that the last person here, I'm standing up, I'm jumping around at the soapbox I'm on here. Let's say you say to me, we don't need condoms, I'm safe. And I say to you, we don't need condoms, I'm safe. You can assume that I did that with every other partner I had, and that my partners did that with every other partner they had. I can assume that about you. Every other woman you've been with, you didn't use a condom. Every other person they've been with didn't use a condom. Do I really want to have unprotected sex with everyone you've ever had unprotected sex with? Uh-uh.
Of course not.
And you shouldn't.
Yeah.
For me either.
Yeah.
And so it shouldn't be a matter of even saying, are you safe? Are you safe? I've been tested. Well, what does that mean? If you're going around having unprotected sex, having been tested means nothing. What if you picked something up last night?
Of course. No, of course.
So it's just so important to just do it.
Yeah.
Do it with condoms.
Sure. And you can, you know, and for men, hey, guys, regardless how old you are, but if the thing is there's not enough stimulation, you can always put just the tiniest little drop of lube inside the condom.
Right.
And it completely changes the experience. And, you know, it's not quite the same, but it's really close.
You know, one of my interviewees is a man who's in his 60s, and he has a very active swinging sex life.
Wow.
Very active. He has like 4 regular partners and lots of one-night stands. He's just into lots of sex. And his motto is barrier protection with everyone, every time, no exceptions.
Great.
And he told me that the way he makes this work for him, because he doesn't have easy erections the way he used to either, he said he eroticizes condom use by masturbating with condoms.
Oh.
And that's just his regular practice. He will even have sex with himself with condoms so that condoms are eroticized. And